全真模拟题十一。
Part 1. Dictation. Listen to the following passage. Altogether, the passage will be read to you 4 times. During the first reading, which will be done at normal speed, listen and try to understand the meaning. For the second and third readings, the passage will be read sentence by sentence, or phrase by phrase, with intervals of 15 seconds. The last reading will be done at normal speed again, and during this time, you should check your work. You will then be given 1 minute to check through your work once more. Please write the whole passage on answer sheet 1. Now listen to the passage.
Shrinking fish.
Although projections of global temperature rises show relatively small changes at the bottom of the oceans, the resulting impacts on fish body size are unexpectedly large, according to the research conducted by a university in Britain. As ocean temperatures increase, so do the body temperatures of the fish. This means they use more oxygen to stay alive, and, according to the researchers, they have less available for growth. They've calculated that up to 2050, fish will shrink in size by between 14 and 24%, with the Indian and Atlantic Oceans worst affected.
The second and third readings. You should begin writing now.
Although projections of global temperature rises show Although projections of global temperature rises show relatively small changes at the bottom of the oceans, relatively small changes at the bottom of the oceans, the resulting impacts on fish body size are unexpectedly large. The resulting impacts on fish body size are unexpectedly large. According to the research conducted by a university in Britain, according to the research conducted by a university in Britain, as ocean temperatures increase, so do the body temperatures of the fish. As ocean temperatures increase, so do the body temperatures of the fish. This means they use more oxygen to stay alive. This means they use more oxygen to stay alive. And according to the researchers, they have less available for growth. And according to the researchers, they have less available for growth. They've calculated that up to 2050, fish will shrink in size by between 14 and 24%. Fish will shrink in size by between 14 and 24%. With the Indian and Atlantic Oceans worst affected. With the Indian and Atlantic Oceans worst affected.
The last reading.
Although projections of global temperature rises show relatively small changes at the bottom of the oceans, the resulting impacts on fish body size are unexpectedly large, according to the research conducted by a university in Britain. As ocean temperatures increase, so do the body temperatures of the fish. This means they use more oxygen to stay alive, and, according to the researchers, they have less available for growth. They've calculated that up to 2050, fish will shrink in size by between 14 and 24%, with the Indian and Atlantic Oceans worst affected.
Now, you have 1 minute to check through your work. This is the end of Part 1, Dictation. Part 2, Listening Comprehension. Section A, Talk. In this section, you will hear a talk. You will hear the talk once only. While listening, you may look at the task on Answer Sheet 1 and write no more than 3 words for each gap. Make sure what you fill in is both grammatically and semantically acceptable. You may use the blank sheet for note-taking. You have 30 seconds to preview the gap-filling task. Now listen to the talk. When it is over, you will be given 2 minutes to check your work.
Caring for aging population. Hello, everyone. Today we are going to talk about aging population and the caring work for them. We know that people are living longer everywhere in the world. Studies show the average age of the human population is rising. According to the latest number from World Health Organization, in 2050, China will be the country with the largest population aged 80 years or over, with 90 million. India will come in second with 37 million. And the U.S. will be third with 32 million. Other countries with the largest populations of the 80 and older crowd will be Japan, Brazil, Germany, France, Italy, Britain, and the Russian Federation. The WHO says governments must prepare now to deal with an increasingly aging world. As people age, they may develop long-term health problems. These disorders may affect their quality of life and create problems for society and healthcare systems. Caring for an aging population takes both time and money. The responsibility of caring for an older person often falls on family members. And this can create difficulties. Some families experience what we call caregiver burnout, which refers to a caregiver having been under such stress, perhaps financial, perhaps physical, certainly emotional stress, that he or she cannot continue doing the caregiving anymore. And the condition can affect a person in many ways. So people need several things to reduce the stress of caring for aging or disabled family members. These things include money, medical training, and sometimes just giving the caregiver a break. Studies have found that Sweden and Finland lead the world in supporting caregivers, while the U.S. is far behind other English-speaking countries in giving family support for caring for sick and aging family members. Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland do a better job than the United States in terms of their support to caregivers. For all 4 countries have strong government-supported caregiver programs. Families can get financial help and resources to help them care for elderly family members as well as disabled children. However, in some cultures, it is the family's responsibility to care for aging family members. So, even the word caregiver does not exist in many cultures. In India, there are so many middle-class Indian people, especially young people who have moved to Australia or the UK or the US, and the parents are still living back in India. They just send money back. It is similar in China. Actually, China passed a law saying that adult children must send money back to support the family, and they've started implementing this law now. However, the situation in Japan is far different. Japan offers long-term insurance for families, and they also have a tradition of family caregiving. But they do not have a group of caregiving organizations that work together. Japan has a lack of young people to care for its aging population. To answer that problem, Japan has sometimes turned to other countries to train people to work in healthcare. For example, they trained Vietnamese to work as healthcare workers for aging populations in Japan. Besides, scientists in Japan have also invented robot caregivers, which are designed, for instance, to move patients from a bed to a wheelchair. Okay, having talked about the aging population, caregiver burnout, and cultural differences in caregiving, I hope that you have got a general understanding of this topic. If you have any questions, do not hesitate to ask me.
Now, you have 2 minutes to check your work. This is the end of Section A, Talk. Section B, Conversations. In this section, you will hear 2 conversations. At the end of each conversation, 5 questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversations and the questions will be spoken once only. After each question, there will be a 10-second pause. During the pause, you should read the 4 choices of A, B, C, and D, and mark the best answer to each question on answer sheet 2. You have 30 seconds to preview the choices. Now, listen to the conversations. Conversation 1. Questions 1 to 5 are based on conversation 1.
Hello, Betty. Have you got 2 pounds? I forgot my wallet and I need a coffee. I've only got these pennies.
Sorry, Jack. I always use my bank card in the cafeteria.
You use a card to buy coffee?
Yes, it's a tap-and-go card, so it's quick. You don't enter a PIN number, and everyone in the coffee queue uses them, except you.
Well, I pay for things with money.
There are different kinds of money. You're still digging around in your pockets for change, Jack. I suppose you still use checks?
Yes, I do. Checks are very useful. So help me keep up, Betty. What's a tap-and-go card? I thought you were talking about your regular bank card.
Well, tap-and-go cards are regular bank cards, but with a built-in chip and antenna. The card reader sends out a radio frequency, and when you bring the card close to the reader, the antenna picks up the signal to make the payment.
This antenna business doesn't sound secure. An antenna is used for sending or receiving radio signals. Doesn't it mean your personal data is flying around for anyone to steal?
Nothing's flying around. At less than half a second per transaction, there's no time for anyone to steal your cash.
What if someone steals my card?
Each contactless payment is limited to a certain amount. The UK's limit is £30. After you've used your card a few times in a row, you have to enter your PIN. Whereas if someone steals your banknotes, that's your bad luck.
Okay, good point.
And there is new technology coming. If getting your bank card out seems like too much trouble, there's a solution. For those times when not even carrying a card is convenient, at the beach or a festival, for example, the FingoPay system reads the unique maps of veins under the surface of your finger. The trick is remembering which finger you registered with.
Sounds interesting.
This high-tech stuff is amazing. Someday soon, we won't have to carry a wallet or a purse or anything. The veins in our fingers will authenticate payments and prove the payments are ours. I can't wait.
But it still sounds a bit too sci-fi for my liking. I still prefer banknotes.
All right, then. I have a question for you. Do you know which man's face appears on a UK £10 note?
I only know the Queen.
Yes, the Queen is on one side, but on the other side of each note is an important historical figure.
Oh, really? I've never noticed. Is it Albert Einstein?
No, Einstein was German, not British.
Then I'll go for Isaac Newton. He's a historical figure.
Actually, it's Charles Darwin. Isaac Newton was on the old £1 note, which is no longer used.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on conversation 1.
Question 1. How does the man want to pay for his coffee?
Question 2. Which is true about a tap-and-go card?
Question 3. According to the woman, why is tap-and-go safe to use?
Question 4. What is the trick with the FingoPay system?
Question 5. Who is on the UK £10 note?
This is the end of conversation 1. Conversation 2. Questions 6 to 10 are based on conversation 2.
The Program for International Student Assessment, or PISA test, has been given to 15-year-olds in 65 countries and educational systems every 3 years since 2000. A way to test and compare performances in reading, math, and science, with an emphasis on how facts and figures can be not just learned, but used. Results from 2012 were released today, and once again, the U.S. hovered near the middle of the pack, lagging in some areas, even as other countries advanced. Math remains the biggest challenge. 29 other systems had higher average scores than American high schoolers. The U.S. fared better in reading, where it marked 20th, and in science, ranking 23rd. The best results were in East Asia, where students from Shanghai, Singapore, South Korea, and Japan, among others, placed near the top. As in the past, though, some education experts question just what and how much PISA tells us, given social, cultural, and economic differences among nations. The PISA test is coordinated by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD. Andreas Schleicher serves as Deputy Director for Education and Skills there. He helped develop and run the test and joins us now, and welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So explain to us first, what is the role and importance of these tests? What do they actually tell us?
Well, they allow us to look at what is possible in education. They show us what the world's leading education systems are, show what is possible in terms of student achievement, in terms of equity and educational opportunities, and show a very important mirror in which we can look at ourselves in the light of what other countries show as possible, really.
So when we look at ourselves here in the U.S., the headline once again was average.
Well, yes, I think the U.S. is an average performer, but we have seen actually a lot of movement around the world. Shanghai, Singapore, moving from good to great. In Europe, Poland, Germany, actually addressing many of the same challenges the U.S. faces in terms of creating a more equitable distribution of learning opportunities. There are a lot of lessons in there, not just sort of seeing where you are, but also how things can become better.
So give us some examples. What do you see some countries doing well that we are not doing here?
Well, particularly in East Asia, they give a great value to education. They attract great people into the teaching profession. They attract the most talented teachers into the most challenging classrooms, something the U.S. has great difficulties with. I mean, every student believes that they are the owners of their success, that investment in learning and effort is going to make a difference, not talent. Questions 6 to 10 are based on conversation 2.
Question 6. What is PISA?
Question 7. How did Americans perform in PISA?
Question 8. What can we learn from the PISA results?
Question 9. Which country faces the same challenge as the U.S.?
Question 10. Why are there more talented teachers in East Asia?
This is the end of Conversation 2.
This is the end of Part 2, Listening Comprehension.